the parents the opportunity to train their children. It gave the opportunity to teach the children what God had done in delivering Israel. It would prompt questions, see, giving parents the opportunity to provide answers. This meant that mom and dad needed to know the answers that were going to be prompted by the children. Doesn't that same thing happen today? When we pass out the elements of the Lord's Supper, there are some children say, "What does that mean? Why do you do that? Can I have some of that?" All they see is crackers and juice, see. It gives the parent the opportunity to explain to them this memorial service. Do you know the answers, mom and dad? Can you explain? You know, used to, after the church service, after the sermon, and back during the Puritan days especially, they had 2-, 3-, 4-hour-long sermons. Remember that next time you think I get windy. Okay? 2-, 3-, 4-hour-long sermons, and when they would go home around the dinner table, the father would begin to ask the children questions about the sermon. And he did so in order to provoke more questions. Well, what did he mean when he said? And they would sit around the table and discuss the sermon and its application to their lives. As years passed, however, things began to change a little bit. They sat around and criticized the sermon. Then they began to criticize the preacher. Now they forget the sermon before they get home. It's an opportunity to answer questions, to provoke questions among our children. And we wonder why so many adults today don't know anything about the Bible. They weren't taught. And they're not teaching their children. You got one generation, one chance to do it, folks. And then it's over. And it's too late. So it was a practice that provoked questions. You need to have the answers. Because this is how personal faith is perpetuated generation after generation. See, if you don't teach them, who is? Who will? Well, I'll just send them to Sunday school, but you don't. Well, I'll make sure that they learn the basics. What are the basics? Tell me, mom and dad, what are the basics? You don't know. See, could you defend what you believe from the scriptures? Well, you know, I believe what our church believes. What does your church believe? Oh, our church believes what the preacher preaches. What does he believe? Well, I'm not real sure. See. Oh, study to show thyself approved unto God. That brings us to the participants, verse 43. Jump over several verses there to verse 43. The participants. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. This is the custom. This is the service. This is the enactment of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, and when thou hast circumcised him, then he shall eat thereof, when he has become a Jewish convert. When he is then in the family of God, then remember this is the Old Testament covenant. When he has become a professor of faith in Israel's God, then he shall eat thereof. When he gets saved, see, who partakes of the Lord's Supper? Born again individuals. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. So we have the participants. No stranger, no foreigner, no hired servant was allowed to participate in this celebratory feast of remembrance, what God had done for Israel, because they had not experienced it unless they had become a convert. See? So that means, very simply, if you're here today and you're not born again, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the juice and the bread is passed by you, and you take it, it doesn't mean anything to you. It won't do anything for you. It won't save your soul. Salvation precedes the observance. See? Now, if you are here, and you are, obviously you are, But if you are here and are born again, you're in God's family and therefore are qualified, walking in fellowship with Him to observe because you have a connection. See, you remember the bloodline. The place it was practiced is mentioned here in verse 46. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry it forth out of the flesh abroad, out of the house, neither thou shalt break a bone thereof. And all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. The place it was practiced, each individual house observed this feast. And it was done simultaneously by the entire nation. Each individual house observed this feast, but it was done by the entire nation. At the same time, they took their lamb, sacrificial lamb, and they slit its throat. They caught the blood in the basin. They took the hyssop, and the neighbors over there, he's doing the same thing at the same time, and the neighbors to the west are doing the same thing, and the ones to the north. Everybody is at the same time doing this enactment. And they take that hyssop branch and they put it in the blood in the basin at the bottom of the door. And they daub the top and the right and the left. And the blood that was applied became effectual. And the death angel passed over that home. But they had to have faith enough in God's word, in God's command, to obey it. And to act upon it. If they didn't, and the angel of death, when he came by, did not see the blood, the firstborn child in that family died. And they could say, well, that's not fair. No, you didn't obey what God said to do. See, there are a lot of times that people just really don't want to do what God says to do. They are like Naaman in the Old Testament, who thought he had a better way. When he had leprosy and he was sent to Elisha the prophet, and the prophet didn't even go out and lay hands on him, didn't have a big tent meeting or a big healing service or anything. He just sent his servant and said, go tell him to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. That offended Naaman. We've got rivers better than the Jordan back home. I thought he would come out, lay his hand on the site, have a big ceremony, because after all, you know who I am. I thought he would make a big deal about it because of who I am. And to tell me to go dip 7 times in that old Jordan River, I'm not going to do it. I'm too good for that. I'm better than that. And his servant said, Master, you know, if he had told you to go do some great feat, wouldn't you have done it? If he had told you to go make some great sacrifice, if he had asked of you to do something that was next to impossible, wouldn't you have taken on that challenge? What's the big deal? Just go dip in the river 7 times. I have a sermon on that, 7 ducks in a muddy river. I'll preach it for you someday. And he said, Naaman said, I thought this is the way it should happen. I thought that by somewhat regular church attendance, I'd get to heaven. I thought if I just got my name on some church register that I was a member of that church, that ought to be good. I thought if I would just get baptized, that would be good enough. But the blood's never been applied. See, the blood has to be applied. Salvation precedes sanctification, where we get rid of the leaven from our lives. Now we're going to observe the Lord's Supper here. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and see the parallel passage here to Exodus. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If the blood's not been applied, the soul has not been redeemed. No matter what kind of how many works one might have done. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, we'll pick up the narrative in verse 23. The Apostle Paul is writing here to the Corinthian church, and he says, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. By the way, it was at Passover. While the Jews were celebrating the Passover feast and slaying the Lamb of God, was giving his life on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." There's a promise connected there of his coming. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Notice here the beautiful picture. You know, Christ our Lamb is sufficient for everyone. John said in John chapter 1 verse 16, "And of his fullness have all we received." He is a spotless lamb. For Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1 that we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He is a slain lamb, for John wrote in John chapter 1, verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And John the Revelator wrote in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6 that, "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." A slain lamb, his blood applied. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 3, verse 25, speaking of Christ, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, complete satisfaction through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin. In chapter 5 of the same book, Romans chapter 5, verse 9, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." His blood is a token, and it is a memorial. Though the literal blood was shed, he used blood, the blood of the grape, as a symbol, just as the blood of the sacrifice was symbolic of his blood. It is to be perpetually observed, verse 26, "as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup." Doesn't say how often, but as often. You may do it every week. I used to go to a church, we observed the Lord's Supper every week. Nothing wrong with that. I've been in churches, they observe the Lord's Supper once a year, or once a month, or once a quarter. It doesn't matter how often, but as often as you do, make sure you do it in remembrance. Why? Because every time you do it, you're showing the Lord's death till he comes. We're looking at the picture until the person arrives. See? And he said, "Do it in remembrance of me." His blood is a token and a memorial. The participants, strangers who are made nigh by the blood. Born again. Faith in Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. By the way, not only is it to be perpetually observed, it's to be prepared for by personal cleansing. Just as they cleanse their homes of all the leaven, look at verse 27, "Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, but let a man examine himself, and then so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Self-examination, confession of sin. By the way, when it's properly practiced, it's to provoke questions by the children, giving mom and dad the opportunity to teach what it pictures and its purpose. It's to be observed in one house, the local church, yet it's practiced by the church universal, which is his body. It's a mutual celebration. and of salvation and the deliverance from the bondage of sin. It's not a means to salvation. It's a celebration of. So we, like the Old Testament saint, observe this remembrance because we are saved, because the blood has been applied. So let me ask you, have you examined yourself? Is there any leaven? Anything in your heart that you need to confess before God? You don't have to come to me. I'm not your priest. The Bible says if you're born again, you are a priest unto God. You don't have to confess your sins to me. That's what you do between you and the Lord. But you need to examine yourself to see if there's any leaven, anything that needs to be confessed and forsaken. Examine yourself. Are you a stranger? Or are you in the family of God? Are you born again or are you not? Say, well, I'm not sure. If you're not sure, you're probably not. See, I got married 40 years ago. I'm sure because I was there. I was conscious, pretty much. I was alert enough to say I do at the right time. And I've never doubted it since then. I was at the grocery store a couple of days ago. And Donna Brennan's sister was in the line ahead of me, and she turned and she said, "Aren't you Pastor Bob?" I said, "Yes, I am." She introduced herself. I said, "Well, yeah, I've met you before." And the little girl at the register, she says, "Oh, what church do you pastor?" And I said, "Well, Pleasant Point, down south of town, about 30 miles." And she said, "Oh, well, I've just come back to the Lord." She says, "I strayed for a while, but I've just come back to the Lord." "How long have you been a Christian?" And I stopped a moment and I said, "Well, it was 2 days before my 12th birthday, so I'm coming up on 50 years. 50 years. That made me feel old, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of folks that have been saved a long time that don't live like it, don't act like it. If they were questioned, they would hem-haw around. So has the blood been applied to your soul by faith in Jesus Christ? It was by faith in what God said that prompted the application of the blood to the doorpost. They acted upon what God said, believing that that blood applied would save them. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves." It's the gift of God. The Bible says you must be born again. Just as sure as I know that I've been married for 40 years, I know I've been saved for nearly 50 years. I was there when it happened. And I've never doubted it. See, you can know that you know that you know that you're born again. You may have some struggles along the way. You may have some ups and you may have some downs. You may be like that little girl who has strayed for a while, but she said, "Now I've come back." And I told her, I said, "He always receives you back. He won't cast you out. Receive him. Make sure that you're his. Know that you know that you know." Now, Father, we've looked into your word this morning, and it's time for us to examine our own hearts as we prepare our hearts for the observance of the Lord's Supper, the time of remembrance, what you have done for us on the cross. It's a very serious time, very important time, as we remember what you did for us. This doesn't save our souls. It reminds us of what you did in order to save our
gentlemen,
souls.
Would you come?
When we apply the blood through faith, we're born again. And then comes that work that you do in our lives.